Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club. We're a different...
I hope you burp in the middle of this.
Where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, sir. I am fucking tired this week.
Are you? What do you gotta be tired about?
I'm moving. Oh, and yeah. It's a big pain in the ass. And Bixby, I didn't even activate Bixby, but she's always on my fucking phone.
Bixby is like the dumbest shit that Samsung's ever thought of.
Yeah, it's worse than Microsoft's Cortana.
Wow.
Which
that's rude.
Yeah, and I work for them. But
Cortana is only cool because it like
came from Halo.
Yeah.
And I agree. Cortana is just above Bixby. Mm-hmm. But I'm sporting my Clark Kent cosplay today. If for those who couldn't tell, this is not a special guest. This is Nathan.
Yeah, in the flesh.
Yeah.
He is in disguise, though.
I'm a little more slouched than usual, just like Clark Kent.
Sarah thought your beard looked thicker.
I don't know what that was about. I took a little bit of offense, even.
Wait, take your glasses off. Look that way.
It's me. It's been me the whole time.
You know, I think the length is really helping the thickness, you know?
Yeah. I need to trim it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
I'm a big slob.
No, don't even trim it. Just like shape it and then keep it.
Yeah,
long,
true.
You know?
True.
Anyway, we got time codes in our description. We got our book. We got the back matter matters. We got the poll list. But what do we start with, Nathan?
We start with the news.
Oh, actually, before we get to the news,
that's the news.
I wanted to see if you knew this, just because I just figured it out today.
Oh, I do.
So, Karen Fukuhara,
yes,
the boys,
actor.
She plays Kimiko.
Yes.
Do you know that she was also Katana
in Bullet Train? Oh yeah, I did know that. She's also in Bullet Train.
I heard that too. Yeah.
But yes, it took me a while to figure that out, but I did figure that out like 2 months ago.
I saw like a video of Henry Cavill in disguise and at like a Comic-Con and got like his shirt signed by all of them.
Yeah.
You know, and then I saw her. I'm like, oh, is he at the boys like press conference or something?
I saw that same video and I'm like, oh, maybe like the boys were just like right next to the Suicide Squad people.
Yeah. And then
and
I
didn't
saw,
even come out in the same year.
And then I saw like, I don't know. Margot Robbie and then her. I'm like, what's happening? And I'm like, wait, is she Katana? Am I racist? I don't know. I'm like, it's got to be someone else.
She must be Katana then.
And then, sure enough, like her first two IMDb, like best known for is those two things.
Boys and Katana, yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, she's great.
Anyway.
I think she's great in The Boys. I don't have a whole lot of news this week. I don't know if that's the case for you.
I have like a few things.
Let's have you start.
Okay, first thing I'm going to ask you. Did we know about this already?
Okay. So, our favorite game. Is this news?
Do
or
we
is it
know
not?
That there's a Joker book called The Man Who Stopped Laughing from Matt Rosenberg and Francisco
yes.
Francavilla?
Yes.
Okay.
How sick is that?
Pretty sick. Really stoked. I think Francisco Francavilla is like top tier.
He's
one of my favorite artists right now. Just because
like,
I'm like, everything he does, I'm like, that's so cool.
He's just so good.
Just like when someone has like their own style and like coloring and they just run with it and only do that.
And they just do that for
I'm
forever.
Like, it's so good.
It is. It's so good. Even that like when we were reading Groot and he did that cover, that Groot cover, and it looked like the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
He sells the print for that. And it's like 16 by 24.
Oh, damn.
But the thing about these well-known artists is that they sell like licensed prints.
Yeah.
For like $100.
Yikes.
So I'm like, like, I can do this.
It's just expensive, non-original art.
Or, yeah.
It is original art, but not like the art.
The art.
Yeah.
But
he's great.
It would look really sick in here. You know?
He's pretty awesome. I did read the beginning of... His thing with Scott Snyder.
Night of the Ghoul?
Yeah. Which we'll talk about later. But I just like wanted to read something, but I didn't want to get up to go get comics. And so I'm just like, what's on Comixology?
Yeah. It's a good thing to pick.
Yeah.
Okay. Other did we know?
Okay.
Did we know that Samurai Rabbit, the Usagi Chronicles, mm-hmm. got renewed for a second season?
I did not know that.
Okay.
I haven't even seen the first season.
Did you also know that it's out already?
The second season?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Dude.
It came out like on the first or
Netflix
something.
Netflix is cranking these out like Stan Sakai cranks out the comics, dude. That's insane.
Yeah, I was like just scrolling through Netflix and it showed that and it was like new episodes. I'm like, what do you mean?
It's probably all Stan Sakai like animating it too.
Yeah.
hand animating it.
And it's really good. So I'm like, sick. That means this is like going really well with like kids and stuff.
I need to like watch it then.
Yeah, give it a shot. I just watched the first episode and I think you'd love it.
Yeah. You know? Because when we read that, I had a fucking blast. That shit's so good.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Daniel, the Batman Hush creators, Jim Lee and Jeff Loeb, reunite for a new story in the 20th anniversary hardcover of the book Batman Hush. They are doing a 5-issue story at the back as back matter. So that's pretty cool.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to reunite. Hush? I've read Hush and I still don't really know what Hush is about.
Okay.
Have you read Hush? Mm-mm. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Because it really confused me because my first...
Have you tried watching it?
No.
Maybe that would help.
That would probably help. But my first like exposure to Hush was the Arkham games.
Oh.
And I don't know if part of that's canon or not, because in the Arkham games, Hush is just Bruce Wayne, or at least a guy that's done surgery on himself to make him look like Bruce Wayne.
Right.
But in the
book... I think it's book, the second one.
In the book, that never happens. So I think that must be something that happens later, but after Hush. And right. So I don't really know what's going on in Hush. I just know that Poison Ivy controls Superman and they fight for a bit. And that was pretty cool. That's okay. All I remember. But yeah, so they're coming back. And per DC, they said, ever wondered exactly what happened after Batman Hush ended 20 years ago? Not really. I was pretty confused. This 20th anniversary edition proves the first clues to Hush's fate on that dark night. So whatever that means.
Maybe there's like a cliffhanger at the end and just leave it ambiguous or up to... Maybe. Up to interpretation.
Maybe that could be one of the like one of the 50 episodes.
Is it like a book?
It's like a big thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it like 10 issues or how many?
It's
how
like,
long is it?
I think it's like 12 or 18 or something like that.
Jesus.
Yeah. But it's like one of the bigger Batman like
things.
Stories.
Oh, it is bigger. I thought it was like a
bigger, like a
Kingdom Come size.
No, bigger as in like more popular.
Yeah.
Like if you were to just...
It's always on those someone lists.
A Batman. Yeah, it is. So I don't know, but we'll see.
We'll see.
That's literally all I have for news.
I got a few more things.
Okay.
Do you know the movie the movies called Hellraiser?
Yes.
You're aware of that they're making a new one
with the spiky boy, spiky face boy.
His name's Pinhead.
Yes.
We got a first look at the new Pinhead, and there it is. You'll see.
Looks pretty spiky.
Looks pretty spiky. Spiky as usual.
Yeah.
But I bring it up because there are Hellraiser comics, actually quite a few.
Really?
And they're all written by like the same guy, which is interesting. But
I've never seen Hellraiser.
Neither have I. Looks weird.
Maybe we should do that for Spooktober.
Ah, maybe. And then... Yeah, we've been seeing Miracle Man around a lot lately.
Yeah, Marvel thinks that people want that.
They sure do. And I got down to the hard facts. I had to figure out what was happening. What was this all about?
Detective Daniel on the
case.
Why
are there so many variants with Miracle Man?
Yeah, true.
Are they reprinting? Is it a new book?
New book.
Maybe a new book, I think.
Okay, so you haven't gotten to the bottom.
So
case is still open.
Miracle Man number 0... is coming out October 5th. So I don't know if that's... Because like Alan Moore did like 12 issues, I think. And then Neil Gaiman did like another 12, I think.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if this is like a new series or if it's just going to be the number 0 before the Alan Moore stuff.
I think it's a new series.
Okay.
But I don't know.
But it's going to be written and drawn by Ty Templeton.
I don't know who that is. Actually, no. That does sound familiar.
Yeah.
What does he do?
He does comics, Nathan.
That's good. Well, that's a good start.
Let's look him up, shall we?
Ty Templeton, Canadian comic book artist and writer who has drawn another number of mainstream titles. We got...
Batman and Harley. Wait, is he the dude who's like, does the Batman animated series stuff?
That's what his art looks like, yeah.
That'd be interesting. Like Miracle Man, the animated series. Like a very like simplified version of him.
Yeah, it's...
To where he's looking all cartoony. Okay, I thought that sounded familiar.
It does.
So that'd be interesting.
So that seems like a pretty different perspective on Miracle Man.
Yeah, because Miracle Man's always been like really detailed artwork, like the normal DC formula kind of looking thing, even though this is a Marvel property.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah, so that comes out October 5th. And that's all the news I had, Nathan.
Nice. Yeah, pretty light week.
Who's texting you?
I have no idea. Didn't even look.
Tell him to shut up.
I will. Okay. Let me call him.
Who is it?
It's Tim with the Political Opinion Research.
Yeah, tell him to shut up. Anyway, so we read...
The Good Asian.
We sure did.
And I have to admit, Daniel, I purchased this book in Barnes & Noble and I forgot it at home.
Did you really?
Okay. I did.
Here, yeah, I'll help
supported
you.
A local bookstore in my area.
All right, well, we can take a small chain. That's okay.
A small little mom and pop shop
called
Barney's and Noblesse.
All right, don't worry. I got it. I'll put it up here.
Oh, thank you.
Because if you have a library card, Nathan, you can
access
tons of titles on Hoopla for free.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored, but it is a very good
But it is resource, pretty kick-ass.
Especially for people who read a different trade every single week. Anyway, I'll put it up here and then we can kind of go through it. But yeah, The Good Asian, Eisner Award winner.
For Best Limited Series, is that
Best
what it was?
Best Limited Series, I think?
Yeah, I think it was. Because I think it beat out Daniel Warren Johnson's Beta Ray Bill.
Right.
At first, I was angry about it. But now, after reading it, I wish they could award two people. Because didn't one of the Eisners have a tie?
Something definitely had a tie. I think it was like cover artist.
It should have tied, but it also probably shouldn't have because this book was pretty fucking incredible.
My favorite part of starting this book was going through these quotes.
Jeff Lemire.
And you just go to Jeff Lemire and he's just fantastic.
You know what?
Period.
Nope. That would have been like, good enough for me. Let's put that in.
Yeah,
he probably wrote a whole thing. Wasn't very nice, but then they just took fantastic.
But if I were to put this series in one word... Fantastic.
Yeah, no, it
that's like hardly
I share Jeff Lemire's opinion on this book.
Fantastic.
I do think it's fantastic.
No exclamation though.
Yeah, but yeah,
there's a lot of stuff. They're like
a million people. Matt Rosenberg, Greg Pak, we got
Alex Segura, Kurt Busiek.
It's pretty jock. He said it was stunning.
Yeah,
he must have Jeff Lemire must have rubbed off on him.
The names are closer to you, so why don't you try and pitch a shoddy.
And then we have Alexander. He's Alexandre. Canadian. Alexandra Tefenki. And then Lee Loughridge, Jeff Powell, and some other people.
Yeah, Dave Johnson.
Dave Johnson does a fucking kick-ass cover art.
He's very good. And then also the
design of this trade is really good.
Yeah, Jeff Powell did that, designer.
Oh, cool. Yeah, he's great at what he does.
Yeah, he's kicked ass at this.
That's such a good, like... logo as well, because it just makes
great logo.
It feel like old school noir, which is like what this is, right?
It really helps for those like noir looking covers.
Yeah,
you know?
And so this book really gets me excited about just comics in general, because I love learning about really dark things in America's history that I had no idea about, because our
education, does this keep happening, Nathan?
Our education system sucks, dude. There's really dark things that have happened.
We learned from Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel, Watchmen. I learned about Tulsa. I had no idea what that was.
Oh, yeah.
And then I learned about the Chinese Immigration Act that restricted...
Exclusion Act
that restricted Chinese immigrants from ever coming in, or...
Ridiculous.
Passing a law say that Chinese people could not testify against white people in court, including Asian violent acts, which is insane to me. So... This is a period piece.
Yeah.
And it takes place in 1936, and in 1850, Chinese immigration in America surged due to like the gold rush, and dumb Americans were like angry because Chinese men were taking their jobs. So in 1854, the Supreme Court passed a law saying that Chinese people could not testify against white people in court. And then this eventually led to riots against Chinese people. And then the Supreme Court tried to stop their own mistake of passing that law by saying that Chinese people just can't come in general. And that's kind of where this book kind of comes in, when that's still a thing.
Right.
And that's insane that this happened. I had no idea that this happened.
It
eventually
makes
there were
sense
exceptions.
That it would happen in America.
It
you
doesn't,
know,
it
because
doesn't,
it's because yeah. it's so dumb.
It doesn't surprise me that America did this.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
But it's
but
shocking.
It is ridiculous.
It's insane that it happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just
there's a ton of like slurs in this. I learned some slurs.
I did too.
And some that are, you know, if you use them today, it's like, really? Like, that's like, the best you got kind
of
thing?
Because they say like Oriental a lot, which is like
can't say that anymore.
You can't really say that. Oh, I mean, like
they don't even have it as a ramen flavor anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. But it's also like the 30s, so a lot of that was still going around.
Yeah, that's fresh.
So I think that this is like a really good period piece, as well as a really good noir story, as well as a really good comic.
Yeah.
And so it really like fires on all cylinders. I think there's a lot of characters that is kind of hard for my feeble brain to catch up with.
I had to write them down, make notes about them. And then they eventually, I think as you read on, it starts to become a bit clearer.
I think it does reward you for rereading, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because you start to pick up on things that they are hinting at early in the book.
Mm-hmm.
As well as you can just nail down who each person is and who's important and whatnot. But
right.
Yeah. And the art, I think, is pretty fucking phenomenal. The coloring specifically.
The coloring is so dope.
The color palettes on each page are nailed. Like,
yeah.
He absolutely knows what he's doing. This Lee Loughridge guy. Pretty fucking good. Definitely. So I really want to read this creative team's work on Infidel.
Yeah.
Which is the book that they did before.
We're reading that.
We're going to do that for October.
I don't know if it's the same artist.
I think it is.
Okay, cool. But yeah, we'll get to that in the pull list, but yeah,
that would be really cool.
The artist had like very like Chris Somney vibes as far as like how he pencils.
Yeah, it was like Somney and Chang kind of together.
Yeah,
which is really cool.
Which is like a great like comparison.
And he like
makes, and like great people, and they just like the real thick inks too.
Yeah,
like really give it like a cool vibe. I think works so good for crime comics.
Yeah, a lot of the compositions of the pages are really good. And then like I just love like the panels where Edison, like the main detective guy, is just like smoking, or he's like standing in like a doorway or whatever. Like it just feels like genuine like noir.
It's so good.
It's so good. I don't even like normally go crazy about noirs too much, but this one's a really fucking good one. So
yeah,
it just feels important.
I love crime comics, and so this is like right up my alley.
Yeah, it is really cool.
Especially when it's like, I think the period piece ones are like the best.
Yeah,
just because like how more difficult it is to solve stuff.
Yeah, and especially the fact that it ties in so many pieces of like Chinese history and like culture into it as well. Like they've managed to find a way to like introduce characters that bring in a different part of what was important in like Chinatown during this time.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just really clever. So
yeah, no, this was like, I think he had a goal in what he was trying to do with this, and he like nailed it.
Yeah.
These covers are incredible.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I love these.
Whoever that, Dave Johnson, what was it?
Yeah. Dave Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah, it says down here.
Oh yeah. Perfect. So yeah, it's 1936. It's in San Francisco, and Edison Hark is a police officer from Hawaii that gets called into California by his adoptive brother, Frankie, to see if he could track down his father's love interest, Ivy Chen, who's like a Chinese maid that lived upstairs to them. And Edison is detained in Angel Island with other Chinese immigrants for about 10 days before he's escorted out. And so just like right off the bat, I like that it tells you what like the setting is and like what's going on in like Chinese history.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they right off the bat, they immediately like comment on a couple different things. And like, I didn't know that Angel Island was like really a thing.
Yeah.
For like Chinese. I'm like, Ellis? But no, it's in California. So, but like there were Chinese people that were stuck there for like months or even years at a time trying to immigrate into America.
Mm-hmm.
And because this particular Chinese man, Edison, knows a rich white guy, he gets out in 10 days, which, you know, has a couple different commentaries in and of itself. But look at how good this coloring is. Like, I love the purples that he balances here.
Yeah, it seems like almost certain pages or scenes just have like a color to them, and he just kind of sticks to that color with different shades of it.
Yeah, for like the whole page
and or
like
it's
the
so
whole
sick.
Scene. Yeah, it's
like
really
there's
well
one
done.
That's like turquoise, and it looks so sick.
Yeah, and but, like this little boy Kai has been in there for like 2 years, or sorry, 2 months, and Edison had to leave before him because he like was able to pull strings with like a rich white guy, you know?
Yeah.
I just like how it shows how broken of a system this was and how just not efficient it was, how bad it was, how like crowded it was. Like people like lived in here for months, and they had like 10 minutes of recess like a day.
It's basically jail.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And so it's crazy. And so Edison gets to work trying to track down Ivy.
This is one of my favorites. Like,
oh, the next day. Yeah, that's a really cool.
Some panels inside lettering.
Yeah, there's so Edison like works with some of the San Francisco police, and this guy O'Malley is like a super racist cop, specifically against Chinese. But
typical.
So he tags along with Detective O'Malley, pretty racist white guy that covers like the Chinatown area, and in a mahjong parlor that Ivy was seen at, O'Malley assaults a man and like throws slurs out and stuff and tries to assault him to get info. And then Edison rats out this dude's drug stash and stops him as he like runs away. So he's got like a detective vision, which is pretty cool. I like that they
show. Oh yeah, he's basically like an Asian Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, because he'll like see things in the environment and he's like, oh, okay, this guy scratches on his hands. He's a bit of a tweaker. And then he's like, maybe it's in that flower pot.
You see him eyeballing the flower pot.
Yeah, which is super cool. Like very, very effective visual storytelling.
So is he like a cop? Yeah, he's a cop. He has a badge all the time. Yeah.
He's a detective. And he's a detective normally in Hawaii, but he was, I guess, hired for the case of Ivy Chen, the missing person.
Okay. And then he throws an iron at the dude.
Yeah, which would fucking hurt.
As he falls down some... Oh, yeah. As he's falling down some stairs.
Especially a 1936 iron. Those bitches pack some weight.
Those things are 50 pounds.
Yeah, it probably broke that dude's spine.
It was just a stone that you put on a stove.
Yeah. And it's interesting to like see people's reaction to a Chinese cop at this time. Like, it was definitely like almost taboo. Like, people don't see this kind of thing. Like, they didn't know it was possible, almost. And so they're like, why are you trying to help out like the white guys? And then he's like, I'm not trying to help out the white guys, I'm trying to help us kind of deal, but you're making it hard, tweaking and stuff. So he doesn't like have like a double standard kind of deal, which I kind of think is cool. But
something that I think can be a cop out with like character design is like some sort of scar on the face.
I do agree,
but he just looks so cool.
He does. And like this to where pose, I'm okay with it. Like all the poses are very cool, like noir poses. Like, great. Why is he tilting his head here? Because it looks fucking cool. That's why.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sure that the scar gets explained later. Like, this is the first four issues of six.
Like, why is he wearing this, like, pea coat over his suit that's probably three pieces in San Francisco?
It's so hot in there.
It can't be that cold.
Yeah, definitely not.
No shot.
But he's got a sweet-ass hat.
He's just trying to look too cool.
And so Edison visits Frankie Caraway, who's his adoptive brother, and then their dad, Mason Caraway, who's in a coma. And Frankie remembers like a mural that Ivy Chen likes. So Edison goes to like check that out. There's like a police raid going on where they're just like beating up a bunch of Chinese people. But they're trying to look for Hui Long, who's like a mythical hatchet man. And he's a member of the Tong Gang. So they're like trying to figure out if this guy is like real, I guess.
Yeah, he's like a boogeyman, kind of.
Kind of like a boogeyman.
He's a hatchet man, they say.
Yeah, and so Edison goes to this mural. There's like a kid sitting out in front of like a basement door, and he's looking kind of nervous. And so he picks up on that. And Edison convinces the kid to let him in, where he finds a dead white man with a hatchet in him. He's very dead. And his eyes have been scooped out, which is the MO of Hui Long. And this guy looks fucking disgusting.
Wait, is it the MO of Hui Long?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just the hatchet kills. But I didn't know.
Also, the eyes being scooped out is Hui Long.
Because, like, everyone thinks he's, like, a myth. So I thought this was, like, a different MO. And he just happened to have a hatchet, you know?
Right.
But.
So, yeah, this guy's, like, full of maggots because he's been dead for, like, a week.
Oh, which maggots are so gross.
It's so gross. Dude, I don't even know how they happen. Like, I know they're a thing.
How
but
do
like,
maggots happen?
How do they happen?
I think they just crawl out of the dirt or something.
Are they in the dirt?
I don't know.
Are they under us? Are they under us right now?
So they eat, obviously, like, decaying flesh. Yeah. In House of the Dragon, like, okay, the king has, like, a cut on his hand or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, legit, like, the maesters, which are, like, the doctors, like, put his hand in, like, a bowl of maggots.
Ugh.
And he just has to sit there. And they're, like, I think they're real maggots, like, for the filming. I'm like,
that's gross. That
and they're just like wiggling all over him. It's so gross.
What was the point? To like heal him?
I think it like eats like the
dead shit?
The dead I don't know. I think it'd eat like infection or something. Is it, I don't know. Somehow it helps.
Is it like
he ends up losing his fingers later? So maybe it didn't help.
Is it like that spa treatment where you put your feet in like a tank and then there's fish that eat the dead skin? Is it like that?
Ooh, yeah, the little eels or no? What are they called?
But I think I feel like it's kind of like that.
Yeah, probably. That's what they think at least.
But also this dead guy, he's got like discoloration in like his fingers and stuff that I guess are. Edison's able to like,
I think there's like blood on his hands.
Yeah.
So it's probably because you can see like that, I guess, white skin is poking out and that's how he knows it's a white man.
Yeah.
Which would cause all kinds of controversy if there's like a dead white guy in Chinatown. Like Chinatown.
And what's crazy and fucked is that this kid knew that this guy was there, obviously, but didn't report that happening because he was scared that his father would be to blame for it.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, I guess I just got to leave this guy here then. You know, and just like hope for the best. I don't know. Like it seems so messed up to be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't blame him. So, but that's pretty much issue one. So it covers like a lot. And I think it sets up a pretty good like precedent. And I'm just like really impressed by this book, honestly.
Definitely.
Sick cover, issue two.
Another sick cover. I don't even know what this is, but it's cool.
I think it's like a Mahjong tile or something.
Is Mahjong that like game that they played in the casino?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but dude, the skull, detective, it looks so good. Yeah. So cool. And so, you love shadows. Look at all these shadows.
I love a good shadow. Yeah. Good shading.
Good shading.
And,
they have the thing where they have the variants in between issues. Annie Wu.
Sweet.
Pretty cool. Looks
pretty good.
Anyway.
So in issue two, the boy and his father were brought into prison and they were cleared after questioning. And then Edison was also in prison too, but he was cleared. And as Edison leaves the prison, Frankie introduces him to Terrence, who's a lawyer that works for the six companies in Chinatown, which is a group of like six big like Chinese companies that all band together and work on behalf of Chinese immigrants in Chinatown. And so it's basically like a mini Chinatown government.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is a real thing. One. And
oh, okay.
That's like that's like part of like the period pieces.
That's a cool name. And like six companies. It sounds corrupt.
It sounds very corrupt, but like for the Chinese people, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a real thing.
That their intentions are like,
it's just cool good that he thought to like put in like this part of history and like I'll make this a character. Like it almost seems like too perfect. I don't know. Like
it seems like he lived it, you know?
I know. He very clearly knows a lot about it, but I think he was just like, what are important time or important things in this time period and how can I tie that into the story? And it seems like all these things kind of fit together so seamlessly, but I know it wasn't that easy, you know?
Yeah.
So that just kind of shows how good his writing is. But so Terrence worries that Huey Long murdering people will hurt like the Chinese culture and people immigrating in society because people are going to think that Chinese people are just killing people. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to, you know, so like a few bad actors are going to just completely hurt this whole entire race. Right. And it's not uncommon for that kind of thing to happen either, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so Edison goes back to investigating Ivy's disappearance and follows a chain of people that like may have made contact with her, but gets really no luck. And at a Mahjong parlor, someone explains that Ivy was last seen with a stamp on her hand, which was the stamp of a nightclub called the Jade Castle.
There's also like flashbacks of like him as a kid, mm-hmm. with like Mason as like a dad who was like fell in love with like his mother.
Yeah.
Who was like his housekeeper basically.
Mm-hmm.
And like disagreements that they had where Mason like ends up punching him. And I guess after that confrontation, he like left and didn't come back until Mason had like a heart attack.
Oh, Edison. Yeah.
Yeah. Edison.
Yeah. And I like the flashback sequences are really good because the coloring feels very like
kind of like faded.
Yeah.
They also turn like yellow at a certain point,
mm-hmm.
like a certain page, and it works really well. And he goes into like, he's like talking to somebody and he's talking about how when his mother was murdered by like an American, like cops basically like brushed off the whole situation and didn't look for like any murderer because there was no evidence.
Yeah.
And so like his like stepdad, I guess, like brought light to the whole thing and like really came down on the police to try and find like his murderer.
Right.
Just because he was like a rich white dude.
Yeah.
You know, and was like a millionaire. And so that's kind of what he's trying to do as being a cop is, you know, give the proper justice to Chinese people.
And yeah. That deserve the justice. Right.
Right.
And it shouldn't just be a case of like, oh, you need to know a rich white guy in order to get justice.
Right.
So this Jade Club is also an important part of Chinese culture. And it like appeals to like Chinese customers in the area, but it was also for like white people that like found it exotic. And they were super important for like Chinatown to run like profitable businesses.
Yeah.
So that was like also, you know, a big point. And it also gave like a platform for Asian women to perform and entertain, which is kind of something that was super hard for them to find in America. So that's also pretty cool.
This is I love this splash page. Page spread.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so jazzy. And
some titties?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that at first.
Please. Oh, what titties? Where?
I didn't see that.
I didn't see that. Staring right at me.
I love...
A lot of titties in this book. It's nice.
Look at this cello guy.
Oh, yeah. That's a fucking bass, dude.
Bass. Yeah, whatever.
You sit when you're playing cello. You noob.
That's if you're not jazzy enough.
Ah, yeah. No, it would be too low.
Coloring, super good. It's just amazing.
You think these are French horns too?
Yes. Those are oboes. No, super cool. So at the club, Edison sees his sister, Victoria, who he had like a falling out with, and she's working there. Since like the Carraways are investors there, so she like works there, but also kind of partly owns the place. And then Terrence Chang is also an owner of the club and is like giving a speech for the club, and he gets attacked by a man in an outfit. He's
like a mascot kind of thing
for the club, but he's attacked by this guy, and he's got a hatchet like Hui Long does. And firecrackers go off to like distract his getaway and gets everybody like scramble, right?
Well, he doesn't attack Terrence. He attacks like some dude next to him and like slices his throat.
I think he's going after. No, yeah, it is the guy next to Terrence, huh?
Yeah, so, because I thought it was him at first, but that's him there.
And so, yeah, so he's dead. Edison tries to stop him and he like chases after him and they fight for a little bit. And then Edison gets hit with a thrown hatchet, and then the attacker escapes. But
yeah, gets him in
how
the shoulder.
Sick is this action scene?
Oh, so fun.
He like flips around and stuff, and he's like a kicker. And Edison's like, why is this guy a kicker? He has hatchets, you know? Like,
yeah.
What the fuck is that? But he gets like kicked in the face here, and I just love how fluid and dynamic it is. Especially like, go back a couple pages, like the one when he's like flipping backwards, and then you see the hatchets come out of like the sleeves.
You mean go forward?
Oh, yeah, sorry, forward. So he like flips backwards and then the hatchets like come out of the sleeves because the sleeves are like really long, right? And
I thought he was just so sick. I thought he was just rolling up his sleeves basically.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's so cool.
Very sick.
So right after, Victoria yells at him for some stuff. I can't really remember what. And then Edison asks if Frankie loved Ivy despite being with his father. And Victoria alludes to like some secrets from like the both of them that Edison doesn't really know about.
And then she's saying that like Mason might know something about like the death of like his mother.
Yeah, which is pretty big.
Pretty fishy.
Pretty big reveal.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think that this would be the time to really like yell at Edison after having just getting hit in the shoulder with an axe.
Yeah, you just got fucking chopped up, dude.
Yeah, she's like, now I'm going to yell at you, you know?
Yeah.
But I understand that like this part of the story had to happen to progress other parts, but I just thought it was really funny. I'm like, get into a hospital.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I feel like you might die here.
Yeah. Like, he could be just bleeding out.
This your might
be
trap his last was just cut in half.
Yeah. Like. But issue 3, we're introduced to Lucy Fan.
We got a Jen Bartel cover.
Oh, I love Jen Bartel.
So good.
It's so exotic looking, too.
Yeah.
She's so good with her poses.
It's so, like, just nice. It's just beautiful and, like, flawless, you know?
Super cool.
How's that happen?
She's great. She's doing the She-Hulk covers right now.
Ooh, okay. I think I've seen them.
Yeah. So we're introduced to Lucy Fan, who wants to be a singer but works at the telephone exchange as an operator who's responsible for remembering every Chinatown extension and would sometimes listen in on conversations.
I thought they had to.
Had to what?
Listen in to conversations?
No, they didn't have to, but they could if they wanted to. Like, that was just part of the technology at the time. But, like, this house was real. or like this building is like a real thing.
Yeah.
And it was a real thing that like Chinese women would like work these operating centers and would have to memorize like hundreds and hundreds of like extensions.
That's insane. I didn't know that they were like that. I thought they just all had a phone book
like,
or something.
People would call into Chinatown and be like, I need to talk to like, you know, Jim Smith. And they're like, oh yeah, that's extension, like whatever.
Isn't that the guy who wrote Bone?
That's Jeff Smith.
Jeff Smith.
Okay. He does not live in Chinatown. But isn't that insane? Which is also like a real thing. But yeah. now that building's been repurposed like a bank or something, which is weird. But
naturally.
Yeah. And so she meets with Edison to potentially help with the investigation as like a local guide, since she knows Chinatown. And Lucy does recognize Ivy's dress, because the only person in town that makes this dress is Miss Z, who doesn't really like the police and doesn't want to work with Edison. But after Edison talks about his like mother's death and, you know, how unfortunate that was and why he's a cop, he gets some sympathy. And Mrs. Z mentions that Ivy's friend Holly, whose family might be open to talk, but Holly's dead. She like died in a fire, which is pretty extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And so they try talking to Holly's family. They don't really want anything to do with it, but they talk to Holly's sister Helen, who wants to help out secretly. And she has an envelope full of money and film after Holly died, but she doesn't really know what it is or why it was there. And so Helen mentioned that Ivy bragged about her father being Hui Long, which she thought was just like BS, but kind of a coincidence.
Mm.
And that Edison later takes the film, he develops it, and then he finds blackmail of Terrence Chang, the like hotshot lawyer from the six companies, getting railed in the ass.
Yeah, getting his back blown out.
He's getting his back blown out, which in the 30s, especially as a Chinese man, in so high up in like the six, basically the Chinatown government, mm-hmm. is a pretty big blackmail. So yeah. That was a pretty cool twist.
And then there's like some dispute where I guess Lucy's brother came walking around. I guess Edison like had arrested someone that they knew.
So
she gets like super pissed.
I think Lucy's brother, Edison said that he like knew Lucy's brother in Hawaii.
Okay.
And that's how Edison knows of Lucy. And he says that like, oh, I knew this guy and whatever. But it turns out that he actually arrested him.
Some guy named Wilbur.
Yeah. He actually arrested him.
Right.
Are you talking about this guy though?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Is that Wilbur?
No, that's not Wilbur.
No, it's someone else, right?
Edison knows about Lucy because he arrested her brother.
Is this her brother?
No. That is the guy from the beginning who's back got blown out by an iron. Or no, that's the son of the guy whose back got blown out. So that's why he's pissed.
This is the son of Terrence?
No. The guy in the very beginning.
Oh, got hit with the iron.
That's like his son. He's like there for some reason. He's like drunk and he's like, I want to fight you or whatever.
And knows Lucy somehow?
I guess so. I don't know. Huh. They're all pretty connected.
Gotcha. Everyone knows everybody.
Yeah. But there was like a reason that Edison got in front of like Lucy, but it was like pretty, it wasn't like very significant.
Right.
Just to keep the story progression. I love this double picture.
I love how big his face is here.
Yeah. And then they like layer panels over it and shit. It's awesome. So good. There's like a point where that guy was drunk and he's like, and Edison's like, all right, get a free hit. And then he goes in for a free hit and Edison just decks him in the face.
Yeah. It doesn't even give it to him.
That's sick.
So then we got Dustin Nguyen.
Dustin Nguyen. Yeah. Love that cover.
Very nice. Another Dave Johnson one.
So it opens with Edison having sex with a white prostitute.
Have you seen this guy before? A Wonkwi?
No, but this is like one of my favorite covers of all time.
This is so dope.
It's so good.
I love when they have blinds open in the shadows.
Yeah, some blind shadows and a smoking gun. Are you kidding me?
And a smoking cig. And a smoking cig. And lots of smoke.
Gun. Yeah, smoke from two different sources.
Oh my God, so much smoke.
But yeah, Edison's having sex with a white prostitute. It's like one of the ones that he saw before. Apparently he shouted out Victoria's name, which is like his adoptive sister, which is a little bit weird.
Oh, wait, he shouted it?
The girl says after that he was shouting out Victoria, and Victoria is Edison's like adopted sister, the white girl.
Yeah.
So that's a little weird. but
no, totally normal. Dude, we see way too much of Edison's ass in these couple pages.
It looks like he's wearing a thong.
Like, why is he so thick right
here? Why is he wearing a thong?
He's so thick. No, that's...
I know it's like...
It's because he's so shredded.
I know it's like anatomy and whatever, but it just looks like he's wearing a really thin...
It's just an arrow pointing straight to his booty.
Yeah, telling you where to look.
Because, like, I feel like he's just too...
I love the steam.
Oh, yeah. The steam is cool. The just kind of almost really cool creating panels.
That's, I love how blue this is. But yeah, so Edison like is taking a shower. I love
how blue his ass is.
I love how blue this page is. And Edison's ass just happens to be on here, which I also enjoy.
Uh-huh.
Nah. So after a shower, Edison gets ambushed by these two guys who he like fights off naked, which is a pretty fun scene. He like does the towel throw and then he punches him right after.
Classic rush hour.
This belt whip to the eye would hurt so bad.
I would kill myself.
Especially if it's a belt that's over like $20. That should hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fights them off and he's like, you should probably call an ambulance for these guys because they're pretty fucking hurt. And I know that because I just hurt them. And then in the morning, he meets up with Frankie, his brother, and they travel around trying to find Terrence Chang, but they don't really get anywhere. And they're like, I love this. There's like a double page spread. Oh, no, this one right here.
Nope.
Where it's like, all the evidence and they're like trying to fit the pieces together and like the evidence is in like puzzle pieces and I'm like, this is the best fucking page of all time. It's like such a like a simple idea, I feel like. But when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I get the metaphor here.
I didn't even notice it's it,
so,
honestly.
It's so creative. But they're like trying to figure out like how all this evidence pieces together, like what does it mean? They're trying to figure out why someone's trying to blackmail them. They don't really get anywhere, but Edison accuses Frankie of sleeping with Ivy and it's revealed that they kissed while Frankie was drunk, despite Ivy being with their father. And then she like disappears shortly after, which is pretty spicy. We didn't really know that. And that's an awkward love triangle.
Yeah, super weird.
Which like, because Ivy's like only 25.
That's a porno. Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. She's like a young mistress kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so
it is kind of already weird that like your dad, who's like gray, is dating...
Like a
25-year-old?
Yeah.
It's very Leonardo DiCaprio, you know?
Yeah, it is.
And so I think that's open game, honestly.
Honestly, I think Frankie's more in the right, if anything.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of on his side, but also, I don't know. It's weird.
Another double page spread. This is an amazing
double page spread, yeah.
Because it's like in the splashes of like raindrops.
So good, dude.
Genius. It's genius. Like so, so many
creative compositions that like contextually make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. And so they sneak into the Jade Club and they find one of the owners of the club is dead and Hui Long was like still in the process of scooping out his eyes.
Yeah, only one was scooped out.
Yeah, they only had one eye scooped out. And so this starts like a chase and a fight with Hui Long and Frankie tries to help and he grabs the Hui Long mask and he reveals to be just some white guy.
Yeah.
Which they didn't expect because he's supposed to be like a Chinese gang member of like the Tong gang.
Yeah.
And so like, who are you and why are you white kind of deal?
Yeah.
And so Hui Long slices Frankie in the throat and Hui Long gets away and Frankie bleeds out. And this is a brutal page right here.
Very brutal. So red.
It's so red. It's very clear that he's bleeding out.
Frankie's like, let me die so you can go get him. And then Edison's just standing there as he dies.
He doesn't want to leave him to die, you know?
I know, but he could catch him.
In his head, he's like, I'll just save you. And then Frankie's like, it's probably like GG's for me, you know? So you should like go get him.
Yeah. It was a touching scene because he's like, let me do something right.
Yeah. Which like, you didn't really do much wrong. I guess like drunk kissing somebody that your father's dating is like not great.
But I don't think kissing your dad's girlfriend is that cool. And I don't know. He's kind of been for it. He had a pretty privileged life, I imagine.
Yeah. So I just like the reaction. He's like, why are you white? Like that's the first question that he asks. Like his face is kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
But that was pretty funny. But
yeah, I don't know why that is. Maybe he got a hatchet to the face.
Yeah, probably. And yeah, so it ends with Frankie, Edison's adoptive brother, bleeding out. So a great end. To, you know, first trade.
Yeah, like this flew by.
It ends on like a pretty...
Because there's only four issues. But, and then I like how he didn't force, because it's 10 issues total, the whole series.
Yeah.
And it's two trades.
He didn't force it to like have the first volume end at 5.
Yeah. And then, just like postpone this cliffhanger for that, you know? And
it feels like this is getting into like the second act almost.
Yeah. I like that. So he got, she chose to, you know, split up the trades. One's 4, one's 6, which is cool.
Yeah.
And I didn't like expect there to be like a cliffhanger and for Frankie to die. Just once it like started to build up, I'm like, oh, this might happen. But he just seemed like too important of a character to die, which I like.
Yeah, you know? I like that too. I didn't expect him to die for sure.
Yeah. So good stuff. I could definitely see myself reading the rest of it just because.
Yeah, just a brief 6-issue thing. Like incredible art. Like worth it for the art alone.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, the character work, the acting, the coloring, like they all work together in such perfect harmony. And the fact that it is like such a well done period piece and I'm like learning at the same time. It's like, this is art. This is what art should be, you know?
Yeah, I'm like, this is great.
It informs me and it entertains me and it's incredible. And,
You know, I just want more history comics.
I'll steal Jeff Lemire's quote and I'll say it's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So let's go into the back matter.
Back matter matters.
Which is some historical notes. And this is some of the most informative fucking back matter of my entire life. I learned more in these couple pages of back matter than in any history class.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically like pictures and like a timeline of the events and the Chinese Exclusion Act.
And like the places they were staying. The
place they were staying and like how they're basically museums now. And like people that were in Angel Island and were stuck there for like months and months were like writing poetry on the wall. There's an excerpt from like one of the poems that was like written on the wall there. So that's pretty cool. But like this is where they would go out and like have recess for like 10 minutes or something every day. And they'd just go back to their triple bunk bed.
You think they'd just be able to like do whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if like it's just they're like not an prisoners, island. But they might as well be, right? Because It's like, I don't know, it's so weird. And so, yeah, it just goes like really into what Angel Island was like. And when the book references specific parts in history, they like basically say what that is or what they were referencing.
Yeah.
And there's a really cool immigration history timeline here. That starts way back in like the 1700s and then goes through like the Chinese Exclusion Act, that wild law where Chinese people couldn't sue white people. That's just insane. That's insanity to me that even happened.
Yeah.
And a couple of the big Supreme Court cases. So that was really cool. Oh, and then the Chop Suey Circuit, which kind of went over some of the settings in the story, which included the Jade Club. Even though the Jade Club is fictional, it's based off of like a real club.
Okay.
And it goes into like why that's important for bringing people together. And so it references that sweet double page spread and the telephone exchange and how that was like a real thing and how people had to just memorize millions, not millions, but thousands of like extensions.
Oh, he's got a references page.
Yeah, and he's got a fucking bibliography.
I know. This is the first comic we've had with a bibliography.
I know. Imagine reading comics and then having a report after.
I know.
That's sick. Just copy this if you're in school.
Yeah, dude. A book report, like, it's got to be nonfiction. Be like,
let me tell you about this.
Close enough.
Yeah, so really informative back matter. And then more people. Oh, and then the
creator bios.
Creator bios.
So, Pornsack's a Thai American writer. I didn't know that he wrote on Marvel's Cloak and Dagger and for the Green Lantern HBO Max
series. Let's go. Whenever that comes out.
Yeah. And then Infidel was selected for NPR's 100 favorite horror stories of all time.
What does NPR know? Well, obviously a lot.
And it got like 41.
That's pretty good.
That's kick ass.
Top 50.
Yeah. Like, and this is like, just think anything that might be considered horror. Like This is higher than like Sandman, I think.
Sandman's not really horror though.
But it's considered horror.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's like Preacher and shit like that. But anyway.
So... Alexander, was he also Infidel? It doesn't look like it. He was part of Outpost Zero for Skybound. I think it was Lee.
Hold on. I have it.
No, sorry. Jeff Powell was the letterer for Infidel.
Something Campbell. So, great back matter.
Yeah, really cool. Honestly, it's like a different kind of back matter, but it was Aaron Campbell.
Aaron, okay.
Yeah. It was a different kind of back matter, but... I like seeing that kind of unique stuff, you know? So
definitely.
I can definitely see why it's won an Eisner. It's pretty kick-ass.
I can get jiggy with it.
Yeah. I got very jiggy with it. But that's The Good Asian, Daniel. What would you rate this book?
Yeah, give it a gotta have it. Nice. I gotta have this flavor. I don't know.
Have some boba on there.
Is that even a Chinese thing?
I don't know. It's Asian.
What do they have at Chinese restaurants that's like dessert?
I don't know, but...
Wait, is it like... Isn't like green tea ice cream one?
Like matcha?
Matcha ice cream? I'm going to look this up and then cut it out so I don't look so racist.
Yeah.
Chinese dessert. I give it a rice pudding, Nathan.
You know, did you know that boba is actually a Chinese slang for breasts?
Ooh.
And that's just like so popular now. And
I know in zone, I guess. I know in Japanese it's opai.
Opai?
Opai.
Okay, nice. Well, I'm going to rate this a big boba.
A big boba.
Extra boba.
Oh, yeah. Bubble tea. I'll call it a custard tart.
Okay. I like that. Pineapple tart.
Yeah, good stuff.
But right. Daniel, I rate this a big old boba.
All right.
Perhaps a Viet coffee, which is typically what I get when I get boba.
So do you eat like the little tapioca balls?
Yeah.
I think they're so gross.
You do?
Yeah.
I mean, there's different kinds. You can get popping, which I'm not...
The popping one's fine because that's just like...
I don't...
It's just juice.
I don't really care for that one. I prefer the tapioca.
I don't know. In coffee, too?
Sure.
I don't know.
Have you seen those people that drink boba and they shoot it out the straw and it goes like a machine gun?
I'd rather do that.
It's really, I want to try it, but I haven't yet. But yeah, I think just Sophia's gotten me into boba. I used to just get like cookies and cream shakes with boba in them. And then I went to like normal like matcha teas and stuff. And then
right.
I just like coffee. So
for sure.
But anyway, I would rate it that because I like this book.
Alrighty.
So let's go into the poll list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Daniel, I don't know if you saw me, but I was pulling in right as you were pulling out of the shop today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you would have gotten there before me.
I had a really busy day at work. So, like, literally, I took your spot, like, right after you left.
Good spot.
I thought, yeah, it was pretty good. It was in that 20-minute parking area.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not going to be here for more than 20 minutes.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Because, like, I always think, like, is he... I always look for your car.
Yeah.
And then every time someone walks in, I just like assume it could be you.
Yeah.
It's funny.
So, and then like I went in, they're like, you just missed your brother. I'm like, oh, dang it.
Yeah. I was even like taking a long time because I was just looking at trades. Because I don't know. It makes me feel good for some reason.
I think this is like the last week. Technically, I'm going to Ash because I'm moving and I'm going to be closer to Atomic Comics now.
So. You don't have a box, huh?
No.
Oh, man. Another end of an era, dude.
I live that free life. No one comic shop can
you're
tie me down.
You're just raw-dogging comic collecting? That's crazy.
I really am. It's not a good strategy.
There's far too much heartbreak for that.
Because
so many things like sell out.
It's because I'm scared of commitment, Daniel.
I know.
But anyway, what did you pick up this week?
We got Batman 127.
Yes, sir.
We got Twig number 5.
Yes, sir.
I think that's the last issue. I'm not sure.
Of the whole thing?
Yeah, it's like a mini series.
Aw. I mean, I only read the first issue so far, so.
And then somehow I missed 2 issues of Farmhand, number 19 and 20.
I saw those that had come out, yeah.
So I picked those up, so now I'm all caught up on purchasing it.
That show is like, or that book is like a season of like TV.
Yeah.
Because it's like, when is it coming out again? And then it just comes out. And I'm like, oh, yes.
I think he like... works 5 months or however many months, then takes like 5 months off.
No, I think he works like the whole time. It just takes fucking forever. Because he's doing like mostly everything except for some coloring, I think.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that sounds fair.
So he's like, he doesn't want to burn out. Right.
Right. Anyway, what else did you get?
I picked up those 2 things plus Punisher number 6, which should be the end of like this first trade. So I'm going to see how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Been pretty damn entertaining so far, I'll be honest.
That's good.
And then I picked up the 2nd issue of the new Champion of Shazam, which is the Doc Shaner book coming out right now.
Right.
Very much enjoyed the first issue, so going to check that out as well. And then I also went to a local bookstore called Barney's and Nobles, and I picked up The Good Asian just because I was going to Korean barbecue, and we had to wait for our table, and... Barnes & Noble.
Gotta go
to Barnes & Noble. And so we were just like looking around.
Is that your
around.
First time you've been to Korean barbecue before?
Yeah.
We should definitely like go with like Carter because I know he hasn't tried that. Yeah. And then just like grub.
You know what?
Just get a bunch of steak.
What's funny is I went to work in the office and there were other like Microsoft people that we knew there, but part of a different team, and they were celebrating something for the quarter. And so they're like, hey, we're going to like Korean barbecue. Do you guys want to come?
Mm.
And my manager's like, yeah, you know, fuck it. And so we went. And then while we were on our way there, Sophia's like, where should we eat tonight? I'm thinking Korean barbecue. We've eaten Korean barbecue once in like our 3 years of dating. And like that was the day, like no context for her. She's like, I'm feeling Korean barbecue. So I went again later that day.
You went again twice in a day?
Same restaurant and everything.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. Did you get the meat sweats, bro?
No, I actually, it felt like I was on like a keto diet or something. I felt pretty good.
Yeah, dude, that's gains. You probably had like 200 grams of protein.
I did, dude.
That's so fucking funny.
Isn't it? I was like,
why don't you just be like, how about like something else?
I was like, listen, I know you really want Korean barbecue, but I definitely went for lunch. But I'm down to go again if you really want to. And she's like, I do. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
And so I was like cooking everything that second time around because I saw the person like cooking like the first time around.
Burnt the shit out of some stuff?
No, like he was really good at doing it.
Oh, really?
And I was really good at doing it after. I thought it was very good. But anyway, went to Barnes & Noble, saw the good Asian there. So I'm like, oh, it's not on Comixology anyway, so I'll just pick it up here. And Daniel, on the checkout, they had a $5 comic book trade cart.
Oh, cool. Where is that?
It was in the Tempe marketplace.
Was it just like, you said,
it was
where
like,
was it?
Physically? In like the checkout line. Like, you know how they just have like random shit? They had like cheap books and then they had like $5 graphic novels basically. So I picked up Volume Zero of Firepower for $5.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So good. I'm like, book. I'm like, this is pretty good actually for $5. So.
And was there anything else that like you almost got?
There were good things on there, just nothing that I like.
I'm going there fucking tomorrow.
Yeah, you should. It's really cool.
Because, like,
I think there was, like, a random, like, Walking Dead, like, 16, but a lot of them were, like, volume ones of stuff, I think. So
that's a great idea.
So,
because they always have, like, decent sales when, like, at, like, Black Friday and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
I tried to get Sophia to buy Chainsaw Man, but she didn't.
What? Why not? Then you could have it for, like, when we read it.
Yeah, true. True. I don't know. But, did you read anything this week?
Yeah, Nathan, I went on a journey to read every like horror book that we could potentially read for October.
Yep, vet out a couple
stories. A few things. Read Imaginary Friends by Tim Seeley.
Okay.
I've seen it at the shop and I saw it on a list. And it's like, Imaginary Friends are real, that one of them like convinces like a kid to like murder somebody and then... Oh, but wow. One person is still able to like access their imaginary friend, so they're able to help with these imaginary friend murders. Not very scary.
Wow.
It was like a little creepy. I'm like, it could be something that we read, but I don't think it was scary enough. Because right. I was reading to find something that I thought Serena would like.
Sure.
And like put her on to something good. Read Nailbiter,
mm-hmm.
which Nailbiter is like a...
He's like a psychopath.
He's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And but I think he's like free at the moment and they need him in order to like because there's a murder or something.
Yeah.
And they I guess they I don't know if they think it's him or if they
I remember reading it like a little bit.
Oh, you did read a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So not really that scary. I think I like the artwork. I can't remember. I read Colder number one.
Okay.
And so it's not that scary. There's this like ghost that eats like the souls of like people in psych wards.
Okay.
Well, and
it's not delightful.
He just makes like one guy like just like almost brain dead and like just really cold for no reason.
Okay.
And so the guy just like sits there for like years until like that ghost like comes back and just turns his brain on again. I don't know. It was really nothing to it other than that.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so I'm like, meh. I read Harrow County number one.
Okay.
There's like a witch that was like burned on a tree. And so then there's like this kid who lives in a house that's by that tree. And it's like this haunted tree. I don't know.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I love how you summarize things. It's so good.
Like literally if you read the same issues that I read, you wouldn't get anything more.
I would have the same synopsis.
I wrote these down in like the best, most precise way that I could.
Okay.
There's obviously more to it than I described, but that, if you, I'm telling you what it is, that's what
it is. Would
you
consider like Kill or Be Killed kind of horror noir?
Noir.
Horror crime?
I consider it more crime with like the supernatural element of it.
A crime thriller?
Yeah.
Kind of thing?
Okay. I wouldn't consider it like a horror book.
Okay, fair.
And then I read Infidel, number one.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to read that book.
It's amazing?
So I'm not going to say it's like amazing.
But you like it?
It was like what I was looking for, and I liked it a lot.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it. Like, first couple pages, I'm like, oh my God, we're reading this.
Oh, sweet.
And then I finished it. I'm like, this is, oh my, I can't wait
to finish. You finished the
whole
trade?
No,
first issue?
First issue.
Okay, I love that.
So that's the one we're going to read with Serena, like the second week of October.
Sweet.
Sweet. And yeah, did you watch anything?
Those out.
Read anything?
I just read the first issue of the Scott Snyder, Francesco Francavilla book.
Okay, I've read three of them, I think.
Pretty good. I just love, again, the art style. Like, the idea is like pretty fun, you know?
Yeah.
But I just liked it visually.
Are you taking notes on it? We're going to read that for October.
No, I haven't, but...
take some notes. Sorry.
I should, but I don't think I read anything else. I've been very busy, okay, like moving and stuff.
Cool, cool.
And then as far as like watching stuff, I've been continuing Harley Quinn,
mm-hmm,
and it's really good, actually.
Yeah.
Kite Man's in it. I don't know if you knew that, but he says hell yeah a lot, which I think is cool.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing like Tom King tweet about it or something.
Yeah. And like Alan Tudyk is Clayface, I just realized.
Oh, random.
And like
he's a great voice actor.
I cannot hear Alan Tudyk in it, which is insane. Because Clayface is like an aspiring actor in that.
Yeah.
Because like he can like morph into like people and stuff. And so he has
he's normally like that, isn't he?
I don't think so.
I've definitely read him being like
that. But he's like a campy like theater kid, almost aspiring actor. Where he like takes it seriously and he wants to like, you know, be the next like, I don't know, Shakespearean actor. It's kind of the vibe that he gets, but it's really funny. And like Bane is the Tom Hardy Bane voice.
Right.
And so he just mumbles. Yeah. Very good. And then... while we were packing, I just wanted to throw something on, and I made the mistake of throwing on Whiplash because it's a really good movie, and Sophia did not. Sophia was just glued to the movie the whole time. She had never seen it.
Oh.
And so.
You can't do that.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I realized it was a mistake, but I had already gotten through like the first J.K. Simmons yelling scene, and I'm like, well, we're watching this whole thing now.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I was packing while she was just watching it. Okay. But I understood, but I love that movie. It's so, so good. But that's pretty much it.
Did you watch Hulk, Nathan?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, before we get to that, I actually remembered. I started watching this show called Severance.
Okay.
It's got Adam Scott in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And directed by, like, Ben Stiller, for the most part. Mm. It's like...
Didn't you know that.
You know the synopsis?
No.
So it's like, there's this company that's kind of like the Amazon, I guess. And there's a specific department where you can't... They have, like, a procedure where they're able to... split up your memories from like your personal life and your work life. So when you enter like the building or the level that you're on, you don't remember anything from your personal life.
Oh, cool.
You only remember stuff from work. And then when you leave, you don't remember anything from work. You only remember stuff in your personal life.
Did your job ever tell you to like leave your life outside the door or whatever whenever you walked into work? Because that's something that I've...
That sounds insanely toxic, but no.
That's something I think like... JCPenney told us.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe like, there's... leave life at the door or something like that.
Jesus, that sounds like...
Isn't that insane?
That sounds like something that you would say to people that are bringing like religion or like politics into the workplace.
I think the intention was like, if you're pissed about something in your life, don't be pissed at work. To nice paying customers.
That makes it sound like we don't want you guys talking to each other about like some show you watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily that, but it wasn't sounds, the best way to like phrase it, you know, because it's like, you can't just turn that off. But anyway,
leave your life at
the door. What that show reminded me of. But anyway, yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it. It's like so...
Where's it on?
It's on Apple TV.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, but mom's got to log in. You're good.
Okay.
So it's... obviously, the company's like up to something. We don't know what it is.
Sure.
And it's like 10 episodes. It's got... what's his name? The dude who played like Maroney or whatever in the new Batman movie.
Yeah.
And Christopher Walken's in it.
Love like, that guy.
A lot of people in it. But yeah, it's super interesting because you just don't know what's happening. And then...
So it's like pretty serious.
Yeah. It's like a drama like not necessarily thriller. There's some like,
because I'm used to seeing Adam Scott in like comedy stuff.
So. Right. No, super change of pace for him. He's like awesome in it. And there's like a coworker of theirs who like escapes somehow, and he like goes to him like outside of work, but he doesn't know who he is,
right?
You know, because he's just a coworker. Mm-hmm. Like they're not supposed to like meet each other outside of work. But yeah, it's like awesome. Sarah loves it because normally she like heads to bed at like 10, and she asked me, she's like, should we watch another one or like go to bed? I like fell asleep during the last episode. I'm like, go to bed. She's like, wrong. And then we put on another one. So that's how I know she likes it.
Cool.
But yeah, we watched the Hulk episode 3, Nathan.
Yes. Let me remember what happened.
So Wong broke out in Emil.
Oh yeah. And he's like, I needed to challenge myself because I'm the Sorcerer Supreme and I needed a challenge.
Yeah, and then they have like a whole court case, and then they're like, you just committed like a felony. He's like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
I love how I love that. Yeah, I just like, love the Wong cameo.
He's been Wonging around quite a bit lately.
It's phase Wong. That's what I say. And I'm here for it.
It's true. I love Wong. I think he's really funny.
There's a fun fourth wall break where Jennifer Walters is like, this is not like a cameo every week show, but there is Wong here.
Yeah.
And so
I enjoyed that.
We get a great celebrity cameo from Megan Thee Stallion, which is really funny because like she kept doing like her like tongue thing. Like, I'm like, I think we know who this is.
Yeah.
And like,
she's famous enough to like, she doesn't need to do that. Maybe she just does that.
It does help for some people. Like someone at work is like, I would not have known who that was if she didn't do that tongue thing.
Well then,
so I guess
they're lame.
Yeah.
They're not hip.
They're not happening.
Yeah. I thought that whole court case was like really fun though. It was like, it brought out like the uniqueness of the show and how insane like superhero law would be.
Yeah. It's cool. Cause like that case was like resolved. Right.
Yeah.
And he can't be Abomination anymore, which kind of sucks because I'd like to see him more.
I'm sure we will.
Maybe, but he can't be Abomination. But right. It is also just like, I like that the case ended and now there's like something else that'll happen.
Yeah.
You know, some other case that she's handled. And that's what I'm like really interested to see.
That's what I'm excited about too. Like, I don't really know what's going to come up now. So
it's pretty cool. And so she gets like cornered by like some people who
had like,
she's like, did you like rob like an Asgardian construction worker? And they're like, yes. Yeah. Because there's all this like glowy weapons and shit.
Yeah.
And they definitely picked the wrong person. They're trying to puncture her skin to get like her blood, I guess.
Yeah, to get like a sample of it.
But she was already hulked out and like the needle just broke.
Which is cool.
Which is like cool because then someone's trying to be like the Hulk, you know?
Yeah.
You smell that?
It smells very good, whatever it is.
It smells like diapers. Oh, she's making lemon bars. she's making banana bars.
That's really funny out of context.
Yeah. I was like, what is that? I had
lemon bars.
I was like, what is she making right now? But I remember she said she's going to make lemon or banana bars.
So she does a twerk. Did you see that?
Yeah. So I saw that. That was spoiled for me. I saw it on like social media.
Yeah, same.
And I was like dreading kind of watching the episode, but I watched it and I'm glad that it wasn't like in the episode.
It was just a fun after credit scene.
Because I'm glad that they didn't just try and weave that into the plot. So she just needed to twerk for a second.
Yeah.
But I love how
I thought it was fun.
Someone just had to animate that. Yeah. Like, all right, here's on the to-do list.
Here's what we're thinking. She-Hulk twerks.
So I
thought it was fun. I hate how much people hate it. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal.
So whatever.
The only problem I have with this episode was that like her clothing looks kind of odd.
I did not notice.
Okay, it's just like maybe the CGI and just like the way she was walking just didn't look like a person walking, you know? So it's just like a little odd to me. But other than that,
I like that the guy that fell for who we thought was Megan Thee Stallion, his lawyer, the pug guy.
Yeah,
he was like, he went to the lawyer bar and then he was like, I can't believe this guy thought he was had a chance with real Megan Thee Stallion. And then Jen was like, oh yeah, he's like the dumbest person I know. And he's like, are you willing to testify?
Yeah.
And she's like, absolutely.
Willing to say that under oath?
Yeah.
I love that dude.
She's like, it's my like, absolute pleasure.
What's his name? Like
Pug.
Pugwowski or something like that?
It's like Pugliese or something?
Yeah. I love that. I just call him Pug. Yeah. That's so funny.
That's like a Dan Slott original character, apparently.
Dude, they had fucking dogs in like Game of Thrones or something, and there was like a pug. I'm like, pugs are canon in Game of Thrones? And so that was...
Pugs are canon?
Yeah, and that was just so shocking to me.
That's hilarious.
But anyway.
Yeah, pretty good episode. I'm excited for the next one. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know where it's going to go, but is it 6 episodes?
I'm glad it wasn't just... I don't remember. I think it's 8.
Feels like it would be 8.
And it wasn't just one case, like the entire season. Yeah, you know?
I want multiple. Maybe a Doctor Doom one. Wasn't there rumors of that?
I don't know about all that.
I can't remember.
That'd be pretty big.
Yeah.
There's also a... not like a cameo, but like a nod towards Wolverine. I guess like the news is playing somewhere. You had to watch one of those like 50 things you missed in this episode. I'm like, were there 50 things? But like there was like some news thing and it said some convenience store is robbed by dude with metal claws.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And so I'm like, ooh. So that'll be coming, I guess.
Yep. That's pretty much it, though, I think.
Yep. What are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What did we decide on? I already forgot. Dr. Aphra?
Dr. Aphra?
Because we got Andor coming out, and a big part of Andor is that it's in Star Wars. There's no Andor stuff, so we're going to read Dr. Aphra, which is a big comic book thing.
That's a Star Wars thing that we know.
It's a comic book original character, I think?
Yeah. It was created in Kieran Gillen's Star Wars run.
Was it the Lando run?
I don't
think
so. Or
is it just Star Wars?
I think it was just Star Wars. And so was Black Chrysanthemum.
That's pretty cool, yeah. Then I think you're right, Dr.
Aphra. He might have been in this, but Kieran Gillen created her.
That's pretty cool, yeah. So heard good things about Dr. Aphra. I like just different parts of Star Wars, so we're just going to do that. A different part of Star Wars to...
Yeah, why not?
Celebrate Andor.
Sounds good.
Sweet. Thanks for everybody for watching.
Yep, thanks for listening.
You can give us some recommendations if you'd like via our Gmail at traderaiderspod@gmail.com. We have a link tree in the description. Go follow the things.
Go look at the things, follow it.
We're doing things, so go follow it. And that's pretty much it.
That is the show.
Thanks for listening or watching if you're watching.
You said that already. Goodbye.